Monday, August 22nd. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. I'm happy to say we've got some very positive stories we want to share with our Today in Perspective audience. First off, this comes out of your home state, Alabama. Sororities at the University of Alabama are rejecting current political correctness as they oppose a biological male attempting to join their groups.
Fraternity and sorority life is a pretty big deal at the two major universities here in the state of Alabama, Auburn and Alabama itself. As the year has started and the quote-unquote rush season, the pursuit of a sorority by individuals and the recruitment season, all of that is coinciding right now. And this trans woman, a biological male identifying as a woman, has appealed to pursue membership in all of the sororities at the University of Alabama. And all of the sororities have individually and collectively decided the answer is no. We are going to maintain the sanity that a sorority, which includes living together, the privacy issues of life, only biological females can apply for status in a sorority. Well, that's encouraging. There are two ways that the culture is affected by a Christian world and life view, and in both cases, it is simply the work of God's grace. One work of God's grace we call common grace. Now, common grace does not change a society, but it does restrain the death spiral, the downgrade of a society. Then there is redeeming grace. We call those gospel awakenings. And that doesn't simply restrain sin in society. That actually begins to transform society. When the gospel begins to move with great significance and power, then cultural transformation is a byproduct. This is not necessarily a case of redeeming grace, but it is a case of common grace whereby the downward spiral of this culture of insanity and absurdity, lethality and immorality is even under the pressures of big government, of the academic world, of the media, journalism, even under those threats and misrepresentations, these young ladies and their leadership have said, nope, we're not going there. That is a ray of light of some sanity and is somewhat encouraging and also an impetus for Christians to think Christianly, be engaged in the public square, and sometimes God uses us as an instrument of common grace to restrain the cultural downgrade, but then through evangelism and discipleship, God actually can use us to transform a society. So instead of limiting the downgrade, we actually see an upgrade where sanity reigns instead of insanity simply being stopped. That's one of the blessings with a story like this.
Harry, one of the interesting things about this story is the biological male, a young man by the name of Grant Sykes, in the interview for this article, he said, "I am hopeful for a future where everyone is welcomed for just being themselves everywhere."
There is the crux of the rebellion against God. I don't want to just be myself as I've been created and mature. I want to declare to God, I am not what you made me. I'll be what I want to be. I'll make myself something that I'm not. So instead of being himself and maturing and saying, hey, where is a fraternity of men that I can join? He decides in the context of wherever he is emotionally and spiritually to say, no, I am going to embrace the world of absurdity and declare myself to be a woman, even though DNA, biologically, clearly, I'm not being who I am. Who are you? You're a male. When Cindy and I received our firstborn, Jennifer, the doctor held the baby up in front of Cindy and said, here's your child, boy or girl. The inference is what? You have a child. That child is either male or female. Guess what? Let me quote from the article. You know, quote, what they are. All you have to do is look. They're either a boy or a girl, and their biology is not a mistake. What's a mistake is to think we can declare ourselves something that we are not, and that's what he is declaring. With all due respect, he isn't being who he is. He is attempting to be something he's not. Thankfully, the sorority said, with all due respect to you, and we are available to help you psychologically and spiritually and emotionally, but we are not going to enter down the rabbit hole of absurdity. You are a biological male, and the sorority is for biological females.
Harry, let me take you to the second story out of Town Hall. Florida's First District Court of Appeals ruled this week that a pregnant 16-year-old cannot get an abortion because she is not, quote, sufficiently mature enough to end her pregnancy.
This was a case that attempted to circumvent parental oversight, parental authority in these life and death decisions about abortion and the care of a child. Here, thankfully, the judicial branch of the government upheld the legislative law of the land, which is children under age cannot make decisions that take away someone's life that is a baby at a time of crisis. Parents must be involved in this situation, and the law of the state concerning elective abortions will stand, and parental engagement will be required for an underage young lady to make such a decision. There is no abuse of the young lady. There is no coercion of the parents for the young lady to become pregnant. But now parents have to deal with the fact that our daughter is pregnant. How can we respond to that? Parents or those who are guardians have to deal with the fact that those in our charge are pregnant. How can we deal with that ethically, in which the life of the child is not put into jeopardy because of its inconvenience and the fact that it wasn't wanted, yet a realization that the young lady is not capable of raising the child? Here are your options of raising the child, your option of adoption, but what's not open is the child's life will not be eradicated because it is inconvenient and unwanted.
Harry, it is interesting in this case, this 16-year-old young lady was presented with anonymity as a Jane Doe. So many of these cases in the past, we find out years, sometimes decades down the road, that the story presented for this, quote, Jane Doe was not as accurate as what was being presented to the court.
Sure, all you have to do is go back to the Roe v. Wade decision. That was an invented and fabricated situation in order to get that case in front of the Supreme Court. And then the Supreme Court fabricated a decision in which there was a claim of a constitutional right of abortion. And in an attempt to establish a precedent, there is a fabrication of the situation. And there is no ability to investigate the claims of those who have brought the case because of the enforcement of anonymity. You're giving this 16-year-old anonymity because they are a minor. Yet at the same time, there are those in our society that says this person that's a minor and needs to be granted anonymity, we're going to treat as if they are a mature adult in a life and death decision. Thankfully, the court ruling does introduce, for a second time on our program today, a glimmer of encouragement of some sanity by God's common grace.
Harry, there is a third story, perhaps the most optimistic of these three stories. Unfortunately, we're out of time today. I will tease our audience. It comes from the New York Times, no less. Katie Sullivan writes about drop boxes for babies in Indiana.
Between now and tomorrow's program, why don't you go read the opening chapters of the book of Exodus and what happened to Moses that allowed him to escape the death warrant against him in Egypt. That's going to be an interesting story tomorrow. I look forward to it.
As we close out, let me remind you there are a number of ways to stay in touch with Harry Reader and Today in Perspective. The best way is by downloading the Briarwood app. It is available through your favorite app store. Simply type in Briarwood PCA. You'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will challenge and encourage your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.